This is episode 52 of IDRA Class Notes.
You know, some time back it became fashionable to call public schools government schools, but in fact, that does not exist. In the United States, what do we have? Our community schools. Communities belong to the community. And it is the community that authorizes the way that schools are run through local school boards.
Welcome to the IDRA's Class Notes podcast. I'm Aurelio Montemayor. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We'd love to hear your comments about this show. There'll be details at the end of this podcast on how to contact us. Remember, our website is www.idra.org. If you like our show, would you please tell three others or at least leave a review for us on iTunes? That helps others find us. We've set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of Class Notes is available. If you are not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you stay up to date. Just go to our website to sign up. Don't forget to sign up also for our free monthly Graduation for All electronic newsletter. And again, you can sign up at our website at www.idra.org. Today, our topic is Fundamentals of School Change with Dr. Maria Cuca Robledo Montesel, who is IDRA's President and CEO. Dr. Robledo Montesel is a nationally recognized expert on the prevention and recovery of dropouts. She directed the very first statewide study of dropouts in Texas over 20 years ago. Under her leadership, IDRA's innovative dropout prevention program, the Coca-Cola Valued Youth Program, has made a visible difference in the lives of more than 416,000 children, families, and educators. Dr. Robledo Montesel has authored and co-authored a number of publications focusing on effective bilingual education, school holding power, and parent leadership. She holds a Bachelor of Social Work degree, a Master's degree in Education Evaluation, and a Doctorate in Research and Evaluation. Among the many honors she has had, she served as an invited expert on the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanic Americans, and she has also been named among the top 100 Hispanic influentials by Hispanic Business Magazine. Dr. Robledo Montesel, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Today, returning to the Quality Schools Action Framework that you are the lead on and our guide in our organization, we want to look at the fundamentals for school change. Within that framework, there is a central piece. Architecturally, it looks like the most solid one in the design, and it's called School System Fundamentals. And in it, it has two parts, governance efficacy and fair funding. And we're going to just focus on those two because I think they're so important. Starting with fair funding, why is that an important piece in fundamental schools?
You know, before schools are able to do what they have to do, which is to educate all of our children, they need to have resources in order to get the job done. Now, many talk about, well, you just can't keep throwing money at the problem, or it's money lost because results are not being produced. I hear that all the time, and mostly I hear it from people who do have money, wondering about why others want it. As one school superintendent used to say, if money doesn't matter, then why don't you give it to me? And the superintendent that said this was one of the superintendents who was responsible for a school with few resources. Now, what does that mean to have few resources? I'll give you an example. In Texas, despite the fact that for many years we worked in court and in many places to create fair funding for all kids, in the last several years, the state of Texas has devolved, and there is less equity now in school finance than there used to be. What does that mean? It means, for example, that in Texas, there is a difference of $1,000 per student in schools that have resources and those that have fewer resources. That's $1,000 per student. In a class of 25 students, that's $25,000 that are not available to buy books, to pay teachers to offer courses, to bring in all of the technology that is needed to make sure that our kids are current and learning with the latest technologies. So $25,000 for every 25 students matters in a classroom, it matters in a school, and it matters in a school district. So we want to make sure, as a fundamental piece of schooling, that there is fair funding for every child. Unfortunately, this issue of fair funding is also tied to race and to class. Another bit of information that I found very interesting, and I think perhaps our listeners will also. In Texas, the 50 wealthiest schools are 72% white. The 50 poorest schools are 94% Hispanic. And so you have huge differences in the ability of those schools to do what we want for our kids, to educate them and to prepare them for life in the future.
Well, you know, it really kind of neutralizes the occult conversation about what's wrong with the families and how can we change the kids if you're already showing that if these were businesses, there's already a natural reason why some businesses are doing better than others. There's a lot more money.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And with those resources, you produce results. Now, is that all that is needed in order to produce the results we want? And by the way, in our Quality Schools Action Frameworks, what are those results we want? We want our schools to have high holding power. We want our schools to be able to hold kids through to graduation.
When you say this, it's not about retaining them in the negative sense, but actually completing high school with a full high school diploma.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that kids do not drop out before they graduate. So we want to, as an outcome of our Quality Schools Action Framework, we want to increase school holding power. And we want for our students graduation from high school and the ability to be prepared for college, not only to go to college, but to succeed and complete college. Those are the things we want. Now, in order to have that, what do we need to put in place? We've discussed at other times, we need parents who are engaged, students who are engaged, teachers who are teaching in a way that is of high quality, and curriculum that is of high quality. Now, what I'm saying with regard to fair funding is that we need fair funding. We also need governance efficacy. And that is, how are our schools run? So, of course, it matters what you do with the money. So once we have established that there should be equity in school funding and that it is only fair to provide those resources to all kids, regardless of race, color, or side of town, we also want to make sure that the governance of a school and of a school district is effective.
Okay, well, schools are run by superintendents and principals, and you have curriculum directors and counselors, teachers. What pieces of the running are you of the running of the school are you really wanting to put the spotlight on?
I think there's several pieces. The first has to do with policy at the local level, at the school's level. School board members, one of their jobs is to develop policies, to develop a frame within which the superintendent and the principal operates. So part of this good governance that we're looking for are school board members who tend to the business of stating, what are we about? Mm-hmm. So in this school, for example, as a policy, we believe that 100% of our kids should graduate from high school. That would be a minimum. Mm-hmm. Now, beyond that, you would need, in terms of good governance, for good policy to say how that will be achieved. So not only do we believe that 100% of our kids will graduate high school, we also believe that we ought to have good teachers in place, that we ought to offer all the courses that are necessary to prepare our kids, that we ought to have meaningful involvement for our parents in our school, not just involvement that is from the mouth out.
Symbolic.
Meaningful parent involvement. We want to engage our kids so that they feel a part of our school. By the way, that was the main reason, that is the main reason why most kids leave school. All of our research of that area points to that, is that students are not engaged. So a good governance system would result in policies that state this and that then look after producing that result.
Right. And so they measure against that policy.
They measure against that policy. Yes. And rather than getting engaged in political infighting, they become engaged altogether in looking at how to produce the result via good governance, good policies that guide the actions of everyone from the superintendent to the principal, to the teachers, to the support staff.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I was telling you earlier that I was hearing on the radio station a teacher in a large school obviously trying to do a good job, but almost in despair and you know, feeling very alone. I could see in what he was not saying, but was very present, was that there was not good governance there. He didn't have the support he needed to do the job he needed to do with the children.
Precisely.
The students, you know?
Precisely.
And so it's central to that.
And teaching becomes a very lonely job when you don't have the support that you need from your peers and from your superiors.
So within the action framework, as you look at the interplay, and I assume, I'm just putting that in there, the interplay between good governance or governance efficacy, which means they actually get the job done, and fair funding, where do you see right now either the barriers or where we need to push? Where does the, if we were saying, okay, to get good governance, we need to do X and Y and Z, where would you see the levers or some points?
I think that it would be important in the community, at the community level, to make sure that the community is involved in school board elections. That is a very important part of the way in which schools operate in this country. You know, sometime back it became fashionable to call public schools government schools. But in fact, yes, that does not exist. In the United States, what we have are community schools. Communities belong to the community. And it is the community that authorizes the way that schools are run through local school boards. So I think that to achieve governance efficacy and to have it really represent the dreams and the desires of the community for their own children, you have to make sure that there is a very vibrant process around school board issues and school board elections. Sometimes they get too vibrant, too dynamic, one thinks. But I think it's always best to make sure that the community really owns their schools through the selection of school board members. So that would be the first part. Another important piece would be to assure that elected school board members have the necessary perspective and training on their job. Think about it. School board members, for the most part, in most parts of the country, are citizens who are concerned. And so to that concern has to come a way of looking at issues so that the school board can do their work of policy and will in turn allow the superintendent to do their job. Mm-hmm. So you don't want this sort of fighting then sometimes occurs between administration and school board, unless it happens to be productive on behalf of children, and that's fine. And by the way, in those cities where the model is going toward takeover of school systems because the city is concerned about how schools are operating, I think it is really sort of taking this lack of community engagement and saying that's not possible anymore, we have to do something. And so I think that's why, regardless of whether you think it's a good idea or not, for the mayor of a city to take over yes. schools. That is why that is happening, because there aren't good vehicles in which the community can own its schools. And so I think we need to create that and make sure that the community dreams are reflected in what the school board does and therefore in what the schools do.
You know, just to wrap up, in my own work, I know that we're trying to move the image of parent involvement from traditional volunteerism to parents engaged in issues of governance and of fair funding. And I think parents that can, for example, help a school get fair funding from their work will do a lot more than selling cupcakes or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Because they're raising money in a more meaningful way. Kuka, thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
We want to thank our listeners for tuning in, and we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Robledo Montesel in an upcoming episode.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.